Jazz, a podcast by people who have opinions.
What?
Almost feels like you're mocking me, Chris.
I'm joined by Gary.
Notes from last time.
Whom I am apparently mocking, and who is a professional wrestler. Known as Binary Gary in wrestling circles.
Oh, man. I need a luchador's mask, right?
I've got one you could borrow, but it's El Gringo Rojo.
Oh. So
Binary Gary would not wear a luchador mask.
While you finish the intros, I'm going to Google where I can buy a custom luchador mask.
Custom. I'm also joined by Allison Plus on the internet, and she is a professional book reader, particularly books about professional wrestling.
That's the dream, I think. I don't know. Maybe it's not the dream. I like the idea of Gary being a wrestler and just wrestling with, like, thoughts and opinions. That's what he wrestles professionally.
Also alligators.
And alligators.
Obviously, because Florida.
Right, exactly.
Floridian wildlife.
And my name is Chris. I'm Jazz Sequence on the internet. I'm the only one of the three who does not have my name in my Twitter handle.
That's true. It's because you have a real sense of identity, and we don't.
Confidence,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, although I guess we could go like Binary Plus Sequence or something. Like,
maybe.
Yeah. Because we all have some sort of a mathematical numbers thing involved in our...
We're all just nerdy enough.
Yeah. So what are you finding, Gary?
I'm finding that I'm going to need to do a lot more research than I can do during intros.
Yeah.
I think you should just DIY it. I don't think you should even hire experts.
I'm imagining a DIY situation where I take like pantyhose, pull over my head, and like spray paint with like templates and stuff, and then take it off and my face is all spray painted. And
well, that's how you do a luchador mask, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Spray paint is how it works.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to be a low end project, obviously.
I think get the whole fam in on this. This is ripe for Thanksgiving.
There's it's so perfect. There's a taco place called Taco Libre close by. And I mean, obviously, like, they sort of are spoofing Nacho Libre, the movie. But inside, it's all luchadors and stuff. It's my favorite place to go for tacos, which is saying an awful lot, actually, now that I say it. It's a bold statement in that corner of America.
I know. I feel like that's, I mean, Yelp should hire you for...
Ooh, I have opinions on Yelp.
Pushing some buttons.
God, I hate Yelp.
Professional Yelp disputer.
They're...
Yes, continue.
It's blackmail. It's 100% blackmail. They're blackmailing small businesses. It's it's one of the worst parts of the internet. To make it impossible for tiny mom and pop shop places to exist.
Mm. Or what I do love about online reviews in general is that you can be like, this place is a total dive, 1 star. And then the next person is like, this place is a total dive, 5 stars. I love it. Like,
you cannot encapsulate a place in a series of 1 to 5 stars. That's it. Like 5 points. That's it. That's the way you a place lives or dies is what the average is. It's horrid. I don't know what to do about it other than, I don't know. I really don't know what to do about it. I hate it.
other than take a stand?
I'm gonna blacklist Yelp on our network in the house. I'm gonna pipe Yelp over to.
I picture your family just like trying to look up a rest, like basic information on a restaurant. I mean, like, we have no idea it exists in the abyss. We have no idea what they serve or like what experience to expect.
I'm nowhere near train tracks. Did you hear that?
Uh-huh.
It's a train horn.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on?
Florida.
Florida. The Back to the Future train will be by momentarily. Don't worry about it.
What the hell? There's a Thai place that I like. We like that. Has no website, or they own a domain, but they own a domain and someone else is squatting on it. I have no idea what the deal is. So the only place to see their menu online is Yelp, which means I order less from them because I'm like, I can't do it. I can't give them the page views. Like, I'm not used to do it. I guess I could get a paper menu and like put it on the side of the fridge like a normal person, but
yeah.
And that's what I need to do. I need to be responsible about this and actually support small business.
If you like their
although
food.
If I don't order there, I would order from another Asian restaurant that's small.
There's a an Asian sort of fast foody, not fast food, but an Asian restaurant that does lots that does takeout, and they have Grubhub, and when they hooked up with Grubhub, they put all the signs and whatever on it. And I was like, I had like a discount or something, so I use it for that, or a Grubhub like coupon or something, so I use it on that once. But I usually do pick up anyway, and I often just order online because I don't like talking to people. I can tell that I am with people who can relate. I'll order online because I don't like talking to people. And I went in there, and she said, next time you come in, just call because it costs us money or something to do Grubhub. Which I thought was interesting because I thought like Grubhub just made money off of the like their own transaction stuff, and then the driver makes money off of the tips or whatever. But like if they're also dinging the business, that's kind of crappy too.
Mm-hmm. And think about the negotiating power of someone like McDonald's, right? I think McDonald's uses Grubhub. I'm not sure who McDonald's uses, but McDonald's does delivery now through one of these services. Negotiating power there is like, oh no, we're not paying a fee. So all these small restaurants, right, are, I mean, I'm certain that's the case. Why would McDonald's do it if they had to give up money? That's ridiculous, you know? In that case, you know, they're fine making the money they make.
McDonald's does the Uber thing. They do Uber Eats, is that right?
Uber Eats.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I've never used that.
I haven't either. I have to imagine that the revenue structure is pretty similar across all of them. I mean, it's been years since they came out. When we were doing the restaurant website early on, I sort of dug in what the revenue model was on. I think it was Grubhub, but I'm not Grubhug. That sounds better.
that's a different service.
Yeah, that's great.
Hugging your Grub.
They drop your food off and give you a big
like a singing telegram tonight, with a gigantic caterpillar here for your hug, and you're like, I wanted a pizza.
I said hub, not hug. Damn it.
So I looked at the revenue model and talked to like a local rep on it because I wanted to see if there was a situation where we could partner with them. And ultimately it didn't make sense for us at all. Cause there was, it just cost everyone more money was the deal. You know, there were already too many middlemen to fit another middleman in.
It's too many men. That's what I say.
Yeah. I still use it sometimes though, because I don't like talking to people on the phone.
Well, sometimes the not talking to people outweighs the, you also still need food. So it outweighs the other thing.
Is there, isn't this an opportunity for like a good open source solution though?
I'm sure it is, but you'd have to compete with Grubhub and you'd have to somehow figure out a way to actually pay drivers. I mean, I've used more than just Grubhub. I've used DoorDash and I've used some other of the stupid delivery things and I've used one that had some call center in California call me when something went wrong. And yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of them. And the ones that are most used are the ones that tend to have better service because they're more established and have a better platform and whatever. They're easier to use. I imagine anything open source would start out being really, really janky and nobody would use it.
Yeah, of course it would be, but there's got to be people that would use it, restaurants that would use it in exchange for not having to eat that that fee, right?
Eat that fee. And that's what we can call it. Eat that fee.
Eat that fee.
I love that. Well, I've got a week off, so let's see what I can noodle up here.
No, it's your week off. You're vacationing.
I don't understand. Like, so coming into the weekend, I was like, what am I going to, what do I get to work on in code this week? Like, what am I excited about, you know? So, like, it's going to be the same IDE and the same language that I always use, but it's going to be stuff that I want to write. So.
Ground control bot.
Funny you mentioned that, because there was a feature request that popped up that I think I'll probably have to fiddle with. Although I had to get back in the code for WordCamp Orlando a couple weeks ago, and not looking forward to getting back into that code. The guy that wrote it 6 months ago was an idiot. Turns out.
Past coder.
It was one of the situations where I looked at it, and it was almost to the day when I looked at it that it was 6 months. I'm like, damn, when did I write this? And I pulled it up. It was like 5 months and 29 days. I'm like, oh, wow, this is that thing.
You didn't comment enough. That was your downfall.
Yes. And there were some severely stupid architecture decisions. You can definitely tell too that at the end, I'm like, oh, Twitter would be a great idea. I'd tack Twitter on one night with no thought process to the impact of like texturizing. Like I have a message prepared for Slack. Let's unprepare it for Slack and then post that to Twitter. Like maybe somewhere else in the process would make sense to handle. Oh, it's so bad.
To be a fly on the wall of your internal monologue.
Well, and then here's the other one.
We are being fly on the wall to his internal monologue right now.
Yeah, the other one is, oh, do you see the cool shirts from WordCamp Orlando? They're space shirts.
Oh, nice.
Right? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, 100% of the reason I applied to speak in Orlando was the theme. yeah, clearly. I love the people in Orlando. The WordCamp community. I don't say that as like a pandering thing. Like I really do. They've been really supportive of WordCamp Jackson, just in general, people that are super supportive of open source, and a lot of folks in there are fantastic.
But the space theme didn't hurt.
No, the space theme got me super excited. I've tried to go to Orlando. This is the third time I've tried. And so it was successful this year.
So, I mean, you've tried to speak.
No.
Or you just tried to go and you failed to like,
yeah,
get in the car. Yeah.
A couple years back, they had a hurricane, so they had to reschedule, okay. And I couldn't make it on the reschedule. I was scheduled to speak, but couldn't speak on the rescheduled dates. I think the year previous, or maybe the year after, I don't know, one of them, I had an issue with, like a family event came up that I sort of had to do. I was just an attendee that year, so it worked out fine. But, you know.
This was your year.
Oh, to just be an attendee at a WordCamp.
I was going to say, I think I do that in Jacksonville, but no, I don't. I'm an organizer in Jacksonville, so.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever just been an attendee now that I think about it.
Ever?
I've been an attendee at San Francisco, and I've been an attendee at US, but I haven't ever been an attendee at my local camps.
Right.
Yeah.
Because my first camp, I volunteered.
Oh, that, yeah, I can't imagine going to camp as an attendee and not volunteering sometime in the happiness bar or something, you know?
Wow, I'm truly antisocial.
I mean, that's just me. Like, I don't like the people part of it, but I feel like that's part and parcel of the thing, right? Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel most successful at events when people don't even know I'm an attendee.
Which is perfect. I mean, that's awesome, right?
They were like, were you even there? I'm like, oh, I was totally there. I was there for the whole day and then I left. And they're like, really? And I'm just like, I feel like so successful if that happens.
So a couple of my colleagues went to ReactConf in Vegas like last month, I think. And the feedback that I heard afterwards talking to them and reading their recap of the event was that ReactConf is a very different kind of conference as compared to a WordCamp or like a JSConf or something, because it was all very like from React and therefore from Facebook and like top-down business, like this is how we're doing it, with a few things over here, like this is a cool thing that I built, but very much more like this is us, this is the architecture. And they said that there were no, like everybody there was basically working for a small business, for a startup. And like there's people from Hulu and there's people from Netflix and there's people from Weed Maps and there's people from all these like brands, and there wasn't any agencies and there certainly weren't any like freelancers. Like it was all like very much like startup land.
Well, that's a totally different vibe.
Yeah.
Wow.
I really just like that the opposite of a startup business is a lifestyle business.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, really? So, yeah. And I bumped into an article that kind of encapsulated that, but it's always sort of bothered me. Yeah. It's like, if you're not, you know, I don't know, working your employees 80 hours a week and like, you know, or more like totally committed to this thing. Like if you're like, oh, I want to build a sustainable business where I work, you know, reasonable hours and take time off when I want, like that's, you know, and I'm not building shareholder value, right? I'm building a business for the people that work there and not for the shareholders. It's a quote unquote lifestyle business. And it's apparently like a slanderous thing in the Valley, right? Oh, you're building a lifestyle business. Like, hell yeah. Absolutely I am. Like,
oh, you know what I hate? Cool sustainability. And,
yeah, right? Yeah. It's awful. Feeling good about myself every day.
Ending the week and, or yeah, you know, it feels horrible to start my week off and look forward to it.
I haven't cried at work in months. It's bizarre.
Oh, no. It's so sad.
Oh, man.
I haven't cried at work in months.
I mean, I feel like that would be the case. If I were working at a startup, I feel like I would be in tears. Yeah.
But some places also, like, they call themselves startups, like way beyond where you're like, you're not starting
anything anymore. Yeah.
Nothing is starting. Like, you've got a ball pit. You're established.
That's fair. There's like two levels of startup. There's a startup where it's under, let's say it's like under 50 people. Like it's a small startup and legitimately like it's self-bootstrapped. But then there's that point where you get that seed money and then you're still a startup because you have no profit, but your startup is like you're hiring and you're building for that potential growth.
And like you don't have an IPO yet or something.
Startup sounds like hell. Oh, we hire the best talent and work them to death. Cool.
Starting up, that's what you do.
Man.
So for the Valley listeners, the Silicon Valley listeners, we don't actually hate you or think that your lives are miserable.
No.
But you're probably not.
I don't think their lives are miserable. I mean, there are lifestyle businesses in the Valley. There's also like a certain Valley culture that sits counter to, I think, the way the three of us work, at least, or prefer to work, at least. So I think
it's interesting that the definition of the word valley to describe a place has flipped from the Val to Silicon Valley, which didn't exist when the Val was a thing.
No.
You had to, that's such PR, obvious PR though, right? You had to clean it up. No one was going to invest millions of dollars or billions of dollars in the Val, right?
Speak for yourself. If I had those billions, malls as far as the eye can see.
Oh, I want to live in a world where Allison is a billionaire.
Let's make that. Start a crowdfund, a GoFundMe, make Allison a billionaire.
I'll work for it. I don't have a problem working for those billions.
But like,
we all Twitter bots all day long.
Let's have an impromptu like comparison. So, Jeff Bezos or Allison? No brainer, right?
I mean, I like to think it's a no brainer, but I'm obviously biased in this.
I don't know. Are you going to send rockets to space, Allison?
I'd like to explore the ocean.
Land people on Mars. Ooh, ocean. Okay, I'll fund that. Yeah.
All right, James Cameron or Allison?
Oh. Allison, oh, for sure.
Clearly me.
Clearly.
And I have low self-esteem.
James Cameron has no redeeming qualities.
I have very low self-esteem. I still pick me with my low self-esteem. That's how much I don't like James Cameron. this is a fun,
tough one. Hard one. Elon Musk or Allison?
Allison.
Allison.
Even Allison. If Allison's not dating Grimes.
I know. I was like,
it's funny how Elon Musk is like his only redeeming quality right now is that he's dating Grimes, and people are like, why is he dating Grimes? Why is Grimes dating him? Who knows?
Who knows? These are the mysteries of the world that we will never understand.
Or if you're Gary, you're like, wait, who's Grimes?
Did you hear? Okay, so I read a thing when he made that big hubbub on Twitter about selling, like rebuying all of his Tesla shares, and buying them from investors for $420 a share. That yes. He came up with a number of 420 to be cute, because yeah. he thought that Grimes would think it was funny.
What a bizarre.
I mean, this is a guy who now is like is technically CEO, but is no longer legally able to make decisions for the company because of that stunt. And he thought it would be funny. Like, he's like the epitome of like, I don't know what the newspaper barons of like the 50s were. Like, he's that guy that there are like Citizen Kane is frickin' Elon Musk. Just a weird rich guy. Like, I'm glad that we have weird rich guys that we can make fun of that are just bizarre and do really crazy things. And you're like, what the hell are they doing? Because if we didn't have that, I think the world would be far less entertaining.
It's just bizarre in a world without, like, you expect him to have, like, a better PR team or, like, Wranglers or something. But
because
he's
that's
not,
what if, Donald Trump.
What if they're actually doing a good job, though? Like, that's the thing. Like, I think they're doing a good job. That's the problem. I think that he drinks animal blood and probably has a tattoo of like a Coca-Cola can on his left butt cheek. I mean, I think he is crazy as hell, and this is the best they can do to restrain him.
This is him being wrangled. Wow.
Yes. I mean, yes.
To be fair, who knows what Albert Einstein would do with a Twitter account?
Oh my God, that's awesome.
That's amazing. That might be my next bot.
Yeah.
Albert Einstein bot.
So, I feel like maybe we should have a topic today, or do we just want to see where it goes?
Yeah, we should have a topic.
The topic today, to what end?
Elon Musk's left butt cheek.
Yeah, left butt cheek. Elon Musk... dating habits in the wild with his Wranglers. The topic today is Dunnart. Dunnart.
It's a company that handles armored trucks, right?
Sure. Yes. Absolutely, Gary.
Just one type?
What? One type of truck?
One type of truck?
Well, a fleet of them.
Oh, okay. The Dunnart.
Yeah.
Dunnart. Like, well, obviously, Dunn is a word to describe a pile of shit. And then the second part of that word is art. So Dunnart is obviously art made out of shit. And it is used to describe, like, cave paintings in central Thailand that are made from human feces.
Whoa.
That's not pleasant. Dunnart is
mostly because the scientists that have to like do the chemical analysis are the ones they're like, what is this paint made out of?
Shit. I mean,
who's the feminist painter that did a series or maybe just one piece with her own menstrual blood?
Oh,
the name is like escaping me. But that's immediately where my brain goes.
Well, I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
No. Well, that'll be an interesting Google, as are many of my Googles.
Uh,
We'll find it and put it in the show notes so that you listeners can learn from our vague memories.
Our vague absence of heart.
I know for a fact that if I went upstairs and I woke up Erin, she would be able to tell me in a second, even half asleep.
That would be amazing. That's the kind of live podcasting we need to happen, and I'm sure Erin would
not going to happen. Yeah, right.
Would not be happy.
Yeah.
But maybe she would be able to find the humor in it later.
No. She's like, why'd you wake me up for this?
Yeah. She's like, you asked.
Do you not have Google? I don't understand.
We're like, yeah, but this is more fun. Our one
friends
listener
told me to do it.
Part of the podcast thought it would be funny.
If they told you to jump off a bridge, would you do that too?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, yeah.
Only if I was being chased by James Cameron and Jeff Bezos.
A Dunnart is the unit of moving around boxes that are too large to fit on a pallet. So you load it into a Dunnart, and then you can drag it to where it needs to be.
Oh. Drag it? it sounds stronger than I.
A Dunnart.
Slap it.
A Dunnart is the antithesis of a dullard.
Oh,
so a dullard is somebody who's very unintelligent, and so a Dunnart is obviously somebody who's the flip side of that, the alternative, somebody who's highly intelligent. You are such a Dunnart.
Such a Dunnart.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe it's a euphemism for smartass.
Oh,
don't be such a Dunnart.
We're watching.
Is it a plant?
Sure.
Yeah.
Can you plant that smells like shit?
You can put it in your bathtub and make liquor.
Oh.
It's like corn.
A splash.
I don't think there's a step. I don't think you just like lay corn in your bathtub and it turns into liquor.
If I ever visit your house and go into your washroom.
This is the bathroom where we have all of our corn and we wait for it to turn into alcohol.
Yeah. We're going to party tonight. Maybe.
Depends on this corn situation.
Please wash your hands before stepping on the corn.
Oh, God.
Crush it like grapes to make wine, right? Oh, that's so dumb. I don't understand my camera. So sometimes it's easy to see me, but right now, for example, I'm just a silhouette.
You're backlit.
But it comes and goes.
Yep. Because you've changed the, when you become more closer to the camera and the camera realizes that you're the focus, then it will white balance on your face.
But it will dawn on my face.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you're far enough away, then it's going to white balance on the largest body, which is the background. So it's going to white balance on the sky behind you.
So my camera's like, oh, you look good. Have you lost weight? And then I'm a silhouette.
Yeah.
I'm no longer the largest body in the picture.
Yeah.
So you want to be the focus, not blend into the
focus you want to see in the world.
Exactly. If you want to see yourself in the world.
What? That's going to occupy me for about an hour of our drive tomorrow, thinking about that one. The focus you want to see in the world.
Be the focus you want to see in the world.
And have your family.
Like if I don't want to focus, is that like is a blurry sense of understanding of the world okay? Am I overthinking this? Stop focusing so much on the topic. Damn it.
I think it's okay to go through the world partially blurred.
Hmm. Thank you. I needed permission from someone.
Yeah. Words of wisdom.
Yeah.
I'm
here for all the permission slips most of the time. Do you want to call in sick to work? You should do it.
So what's a Dunnart?
A Dunnart is a small nocturnal mouse that's indigenous to Australia. And there's like 20 different sorts. And they're super small. Yay, big. And they eat insects and they don't really need to drink water at all because they get most of their water from whatever that is that they eat.
Hmm.
Yeah. Which I thought was...
That's good for a desert animal.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like they can pretty much survive without any rain or anything.
I wonder how
okay, so that makes sense because Dunnert does sound vaguely Australian.
It would sound totally great in an Australian accent, which right. I'm not going to try to do.
Boy, it's a Dunnert.
Yeah.
I love that you have to like start it off to like get in the mood. And also you did obviously. The hand gesture.
Yeah, I don't, I...
yeah.
A Dunnert.
And there's a bunch of different sorts, like the fat-tailed, the regular.
Fat-tailed Dunnert, eh?
Yeah.
My Australian friends are going to kick my ass.
Sorry, they don't listen.
That's good.
There's also one called the lesser hairy-footed Dunnert.
Oh, that's very Australian.
Yeah. I might have to put that on my business cards. Like, as my title.
Lesser Harry Dunnert. Lesser Harry Footed Dunnert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if the... Imagine, what's the greater Harry Footed Dunnert look like?
Just a bit larger.
Just, like, slightly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can tell by the shape of the nose. It's rounded or pointed. That's how we tell alligators and crocodiles apart in Florida.
Thought it was that. There's difference in teeth as well. I don't know.
I don't want to get close enough to see.
That's an excellent decision.
Okay. So if you tell the difference between alligators and crocodiles between the shape of the nose, alligators have a pointier nose?
No, roundier. Roundier. It's like if you think of like a crocodile's nose, right? An alligator always looks like a bit stumpy in the nose.
Okay. Yeah, I've never been able to keep them straight.
The key takeaway here, though, is if you need either to move far away.
Yeah, I mean, if you see one or the other, like, you could probably just treat them both the same. Because then alligator or crocodile, who the hell cares? Get away from it. Problem solved.
But how will I tell this story later accurately?
With fear in your voice.
I saw a crocodile. Are you sure it wasn't an alligator?
Crocodiles are allegedly more aggressive, but I don't know that I've seen very many crocodiles in the wild. Alligators, I mean, they're generally docile and grumpy, you know? You come near them, they hit the water and get away. I was walking a dog one time and came upon a 4-foot alligator on the same trail. And the dog started barking, the alligator, you know, looked and... I mean, slowly, like, walked our direction like it was like, you know, if you want to throw down, and then kept on its merry way. We were darn sure backing up.
Yeah.
I feel like it was not like we were close. I mean, we were, you know, dozens of feet away, and it was still like, oh, damn.
Still, though, I mean, the most aggressive wildlife I come across are raccoons. Like, that's not...
Oh, you poor girl.
Not alligator, crocodile level of concern.
We've found moose on trails before.
Ooh.
Wow. Moose are freaking huge. And yeah, you don't want to mess with a moose. And of course, you know, the male moose have the big antlers, but it's I've never tested this theory, but supposedly the mother moose, mama mooses that are most aggressive, especially when their kids are there. Yeah. And we have walked past or near or have seen mama mooses with their, you know, baby mooses. And yeah, that's hi.
Don't test those theories. No, it's just not necessary.
But yeah, moose live up in the mountains. And there's actually, I actually have photographic evidence. It's not very good. It was really, really, I took it from my old flip phone. But I have photographic evidence of a moose that had wandered down from the mountain into the park that is down the street, and the sprinklers were on. So we have this picture of a moose going in the just sitting there like, what's happening? Where am I?
Why did this is bullshit?
what the fuck?
Oh, that's great.
I like it. I don't have any questions prepared. So if we could fall back to our old Allison questions.
Okay. In 3 minutes and 50 seconds, if all the states in the United States of America were represented by food, what food would represent your state? And this is cleverly worded because Allison can remove herself from this entirely because she is not in the United States. So if all the states in the USA were represented by food, what food would represent your state?
Meth.
What would the runner-up be to meth?
Coke.
Pork cracklings? I don't know. Something terrible. something like totally preserved. Like no
someone,
real nutrition.
If someone comes to visit you and you take them out for food, you're taking them out for meth?
Well, no, I'm taking them out for seafood. Actually, it probably alligator tail. Taking them out for alligator tail.
That's fascinating.
That wasn't the question, though. The question was what food would represent your state. I represent my state. I think
the
rest of the U.S. would agree.
Mormon funeral potatoes.
Mormon funeral potatoes?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it like a scalped potato?
It's like a casserole thing, yeah.
Oh.
And you put corn chips on top or something. So I don't know. It's bizarre. I learned there is an ad for funeral potatoes in the paper one time after a couple years after moving here. I'm like, funeral potatoes? What the hell is that? And like Aaron's like, yeah, that's totally a thing. I'm like, what? What is it? The idea is like it's a casserole dish that you bring to, funeral reception type thing.
So two questions. I guess first. Can they be prepared vegan?
Probably not. I don't think so. I've never tried.
Okay.
And so I've never been interested enough to make a recipe or to look for a recipe that can make it vegan.
I feel like any casserole is going to be like something that can be reheated has some sort of dairy.
Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah. Yeah. It's fair.
And question two. You said you had two questions. That was only one question.
Oh, well, I didn't realize you were asking me that.
Yeah.
The question was,
at you, Gary.
If you've never had a vegan preparation, you wouldn't know, so.
Okay.
Does it look good?
No. It does not.
Does it use Campbell's mushroom soup?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
I picture it very like that green bean casserole type comfort casserole.
With potatoes.
This is going to be another.
It's like potatoes and cheese. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be Googling funeral.
It's hard to go wrong with potatoes and cheese, though.
Googling feminist menstrual blood artist and funeral casserole. And that's where Allison's morning went.
You might look into DuckDuckGo today, Allison.
Yeah. Should just invest in DuckDuckGo at this point. The live stream of my Google searches is would be very
Google. There was a time you used to be able to do that, right? Did Google do that? Or another search engine do that where they had the running list of recent searches?
I don't know,
but that's a terrifying idea.
Yeah, is it not? I think it was a pretty terrifying thing when it existed. It was pre-Google. It had to be
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.